Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
I honestly grow insecure as I get older. Cause even when you hot, there comes a day when you get colder. Comes a day when you slower. Time is taking its toll. 45 on the back of the jersey upon your soul. I'm scared of letting go. I don't know what the future holds. My nightmares are having nightmares. I'm quite scared of what's right and fair. How I fare in eternity. Will I hear well done when he turned to me? Will I hear you care too much about all this stuff that really don't matter? You chase the wind and you want it. Got to the top of a 2-foot ladder. What's after? I can capture all this mess. My heart was after. Will I end up empty-handed when I stand before my master? Did I master the mathematics of a passive disaster? Adding my selfish ambition, all the while subtracting what matters.
Ain't no lights, I can't sleep. Will I fall? Will I peek through the curtains all I see? Fingers pointed at me, and they watch it, and they watch it, and they watch it, and they watch it. And I'm wondering what they thinking about. Late nights, I can't sleep. Counting cash, counting cheese. Through the curtains all I see. Fingers pointed right at me, and I'm watching, and I'm watching, and I'm wondering what they thinking about it all.
At high school, we tried to act all tough. I remember a couple times I couldn't back that up. Like when I ran from them vatos, scuffing up my zapatos, scared of losing my hide. I was so embarrassed inside. If I could go back in time, I would stand and say something like, I ain't never scared, never scared, never scared. I'm lying, I'm scared of these thoughts in my head. I'm scared of possibly pushing people right over the ledge. When I say I pledge allegiance to the struggle, then I turn around and buckle under stress and under pressure. Below my dresser that could teach my pain a lesson, but I'd rather not address it. Address is in depression. I'm scared if I confess it that you gon' look at me like I'm something less, and I'm such a mess.
Celui qui a peur d'admettre ses craintes et celui qui ne pourra pas les surmonter. On trouve la liberté dans la confession et la liberté dans la reconnaissance.
And it just so happens I'm wrestling with my status. I'm trying to see me like he do, not focusing on his madness. They count me out on the counter, they fear and doubt. Keep a count of my wrongs, trying to keep me inside their house. Some just keep me around, gotta wonder what that's about. Yeah, they want to be politically correct, I suppose. But I'm comfortable in my skin while they just pretending they close. I'm scared of falling and failing in front of all of my foes. And I feel some friends are unfaithful, so I keep my small circle closed. I don't want no handouts or favors, no function, no favors. I'ma tell that truth till it kill me, and I'm chilling with my creator. Jesus, 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 Jesus to all of my haters. For the ones who think I forgot them and the ones who won't let me say it, I ain't getting no more.
その先に自由は存在し、恐怖は解き放たれる。
A church with our walls, a how they talk show. Real talk is the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it poppin', music got me hoppin'. Who you represent? Ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go. I'm in the zone, can't get enough. Turn it
real
out.
Talk with Dr. Davenport.
Real
Ladies and gents, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you for joining us for a On the Run edition of Live with Dr. D. We'll take issues up the wazoo. We're doing the best we can to bring you the best show that we can on today, on this beautiful Thursday. Thank you for tuning in with us. Again, got some technical issues going on here, and trying to get our main man, Rick City, live on there with us now. Rook, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Doc. I am here.
Better late than never. God bless you, man. And, Rook, we're going to be joined today for at least part of the show by a long-time faithful part. I can't even call him. He's a part of the show. And our main man, B.L. Smooth, and trying to get him on the air. But these tech difficulties, Doc, are having their way right now. One second here. BL, are you live? Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning.
There we go. Speak to Rook City, sir, so we don't have to spend 20 minutes talking about how nobody acknowledges him. Please, please.
Dr. Rook, what's going on, Rook City?
BL Smooth.
Oh, no, man, you got it. You got it.
It's all right. Rook, how's it going for you, man?
It's his city. He can be whatever he wants to be.
You know what, man? You know, Dr. D, I ain't going to let you start on me today, man. You know, I see the hate in you already. We're going to spend 20 minutes talking about how nobody speak to him. Well, if they do it, then they ain't going to spend 20 minutes. How about that? Say that at the beginning of the show, then they know. It's called a proper introduction. But anyway, good to be on the show, fellas. It's Freestyle Friday.
On a Thursday.
Freestyle Thursday, Freestyle Friday.
So, as you know, on our freestyle edition of our show, it's you control the show, you control the content, you call in 586-387-1299, and you give your thought, we'll grind your gear, something in the news that maybe got your attention, opinion on life, whatever, we discuss it as you see fit. Again, 516-387-1299, gentlemen, that's going to be the theme of the show. And BL, man, how goes it with you?
Everything is good over here. Working on some new music, trying to keep it going, I'm actually trying to complete a project by springtime next year.
Okay, by spring next year, okay. I know you got some community development things going on. I know that you're right now seeking funding to start basically a music school teaching youth instruments and music, is that right?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to give, you know, kids another different outlet, a way to express themselves, and what better way to express yourself with music. You know, you ain't got to be out in the street teaching, you know, music, and this day and age, everything is so computerized. You know, teach music production, you know. When I was young, I didn't have anybody really to show me. I had, like, a little machine I had to figure out how to use, but I thank God for that machine because, you know, I actually started on making a beat using a tape player and a keyboard. And for if you got some younger viewers, I don't know if they younger than me because I'm about to feel old saying this, but you had the tape and you press record and then you can play something on it. Then I'll play it back using another tape player and record on that tape and then, you know, like that. But that's how I started.
So you made a copy.
That's how
yes,
I made
sir.
My first
yes,
beat.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
From there.
Yes, sir.
But inspiration go a long way. And so I figure I can inspire some more kids, you know, that have an interest in it, but can inspire them and give them the tools to actually do something with it. I think I could really change some people's lives. That's what we want to do.
Why do you feel? I mean, obviously you have, you know, it's your profession, and you have a passion for it. What is it about music itself that you feel appeals to people or can be a help or a blessing? What is it about, you know, the art or the playing? I can't speak to the nuances of it because, you know, I'm not, you know, I think I'm assuming and I'm imagining that it's a matter of the heart. So what is it about music, man, that frees a person up? Because I've heard it said time and time again, you know, people can't study unless they have music on. They think the best and there's some music going on. You know, what is it about music that does that? Can you speak to that? And I know this is impromptu. I know you did not plan to come on for an interview. I know that wasn't like at all, but maybe somebody needs to know that. So that's what I'm asking.
Well, for me, music, I enjoy the poetry of music. You got a lot of songs out here. They're just songs, really. It's just a beat, a hook, and some stuff that ain't got nothing to do with the hook. But I enjoy those songs that, you know, just the poetry music where and artists. Some people don't like to call them artists, but I feel like any way you're expressing yourself, that's your art. I think you get a chance to express yourself, to write down your thoughts on how you feel and express it in your way. It's no support your thing, whether you're telling a story or whether you're talking about, you know, a subject, you know, life. I think it gives you just an outlet. And then, especially songs that have a message to it, it gives you an avenue. So some people just want to be heard. And as far as listening to music, some songs. My wife, she likes to listen to when she knows her Shannon Wilson and stuff. She likes to listen to, you know, the love songs and stuff like that. We got different tastes of music, but her music, it helps her. It relaxes her mind. It takes her back, and it you know, it puts her at peace. You know, that's what she likes to listen to. And for me. A lot of things that get me first is the music itself before the words. If it sounds good, then I'll start listening to the words, and then it pulls me in even more. But I think that's it's just because I know I'm probably going a long way to say what I'm trying to say, but I just enjoy music. There's so much you can do with music. There's so many different genres. Some people, you know, everybody not going to like the same stuff, but music is so diverse, you know, and you can do anything with it. And so I think that's why I had to be more.
I appreciate that. I can't say you didn't. It made sense to me. Of all the things you said, one of the things that I took out of that was that to some degree and for some people, music gives them a voice as a way of expression, you know. And
yeah.
And so, I mean, but that's probably what music would do for me. So that's probably why I heard what I heard. You know, other people listening may have heard what you said and got something different. But I think you answered the question. Now, Rook, talking to BL about his youth program that he's trying to build. A lot of folks don't know that you used to coach basketball, and so. You know, athletics is another avenue, I guess, for youth. And so I'm going to ask you the same question. I know this wasn't planned, but ask the same question. I want to ask you two questions. I want to ask you the first, same question I asked BL about music. What is it about athletics that benefits children? And my other question I want to ask you personally is, how did coaching youth benefit you? What did you get out of it?
Okay. To your first question about what does it do for the youth, to me, Doc, when you teach somebody young, first of all, it burns some of that energy. Kids got a lot of energy. Come to the gym and you run them around and tire them out. By the time they get tired, they start listening, because before they get tired, they're really not listening to you. They're trying to figure out the next move to see what the, you know, we don't get a ball, but it's just
okay.
The whole concept. You get to you're teaching them, you get them in shape. I really don't know how else to put it, Doc. I mean, it's just the point of teaching somebody and you can see them getting it.
Okay. Okay.
Other than being tired, what benefits? And it sounds like a crazy question to some, but it's really a legit question. And the question is, what benefits do they get out of? Yeah, they learn how to play basketball, but there's even more to it than that. I mean, I can throw a ball in the hoop.
No, you can't. But
actually, I can.
Yeah, I seen you, but it's not about throwing
the
ball in the hoop.
For the record, you have never ever beaten me in basketball. Let's just keep that, you know, keep that fact out there. Ever.
Way to hell, line on the Sunday. I said, man, don't start, please. Don't you start. Be live. Don't you start. Now you rock it
live, but I ain't lying.
Uh-oh.
you never once.
Oh,
not
in, I know
not
why.
A, not one on one, and
know
not
why.
On a team. Have you ever beaten
why.
Me in basketball? So
let's,
I can't throw ball.
Let's tell everybody why. First of all, you don't play me. Second of all, when you did play me, you left before the game was over. You know, you let the kids play. You're like, all right, I'm done. Just come on in, son. You play for me. Tired, hungry, chicken.
Be that as it may, let the record stand that you have never beaten me. However, I've always destroyed you in volleyball, just for the record. You've never been on a team that beat mine in volleyball, ever.
It's a high thing,
so, whatever. So I just want to say, and BL, I'm not putting you in the middle of it, but since you are on the show with us, if he's never beat me in basketball, and I've always beaten him in volleyball, then I'm a better athlete than Rose. Just want to say that for the record.
No.
Numbers do not lie.
No, they don't.
So,
they don't.
Now that they got that cleared up, what benefits are there for cheerings learning sports?
Well, Doc, I'm going to be honest with you, Doc. It's like you do more, Doc. It's not just teaching them. Some of these kids ain't got no parent at home, a father figure, so they come to you for the male leadership, just to be around another guy. You know what I'm saying? So some of these, I mean, it does more than just teaching them, you know. Sometimes you can be just that outlet they want to have a guy to talk to instead of going home to talk to mama all the time. They want to talk to a dude. So they say, hey, I'm going to talk to Coach Rook. He listen. He there.
Right. So the mentoring aspect. Okay, I got you. I asked those questions, brother, because I know that both of you have a heart and experience and dealing with youth and dealing with them on a daily basis, and not just your children, but you know other people's kids as well. And to me, it appears to be a lack of that as you said, Rook, as you alluded to, that mentoring thing. We don't have that anymore, and I think that's why our children are acting the way they act. We did a show, I think our Monday show, we talked about what age does a child get to express themselves, you know, and they don't know how. I had a conversation, I'm going to make it very personal, I had a conversation with my stepdaughter this morning, and she told me about an altercation she had with the security officer at her school, and she tells me that she had her hood on her head, and a security officer told her to remove it. And she told me, and this is just how they think, she basically told me how she defied the security officer and not followed the request. And the security officer snatched her hood off her head and in the process pulled her hair. Now, I know my kid, okay, and I know that this was a big enough issue. This would have came up yesterday, but it didn't. And so it took me 10 minutes to realize, it took me 10 minutes to try to get her to understand that if she had just, because what she said was, and she took my hood off my head and I snapped on her. I'm like, well, you know, you like all of, you know, 13, you're not snapping on anybody. But I had to go through with her, and I talk to her every day. I'm trying to mentor her every day. Okay, not a day go by that we don't talk about attitude and behavior. But this thing is so inbred in our children. What thing am I talking about? I told her,
if it had just took off the hood, you then could have expressed, you know, if you were being talked to wrong or if you had a right to have your hood on and all of that. If you had just complied with such a simple request, you don't be disobedient and you don't defy orders. You don't break rules. And then after you break the rules, want to stand around and be, you know, you want to signify and, you know, and be belligerent about how somebody correcting you was wrong when you were wrong yourself. And, you know, that is something that we, it goes back to the show we did about the South Carolina police officer and the young girl, you know, throwing out the desk. You know, we did two or three shows on that topic. These kids now have this attitude that they have to just be defiant. And that comes from, I think, in part, because Rook, you did a great deal talking about how not just the parents' fault, although you think it's the parents really breaking it, it's not just their fault. I think it comes in part to there not being enough other people involved. You know, the whole adage of a village raising a child. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Doc. Hey, Doc, can you...
There's not.
Can you hear me? Yeah, because
yes.
I was about to say, you remember when we did that show about, you know, the Carolina thing? You got a lot of callers calling in saying if the kid was raised better at home, they wouldn't have been acting like that. So this is the prime example of what you're saying right here. You know your child better than that. You know you're not getting raised to be defined in school, but yet they still took time to grandstand. So it's like,
yeah,
do we really
point.
Got to be in the field? Or do we go back to saying, hey, sometimes my kid just don't act out on certain people, no matter what I teach them at home?
Well, you know, that's an awesome, awesome and excellent observation. But like I said, I know my stepdaughter, and just a few well placed kicks to the backside would fix all that up. And again, I don't mind being transparent. There is a sense of entitlement. So no, our children are rebuked and are taught and told how to respect adults and leadership and do what they're supposed to do. However, I feel as a parent, I can do a much better job in enforcing that, because we talk about it, but it comes down to enforce. And BL, I don't know if you can relate to this or not. You still there, BL?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't know.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'll defer.
I was just agreeing with you know, everything you said, even going back to the South Carolina show, what happened there, and if the girl had just did what she was supposed to do, you know, it could have been avoided, right, wrong, or indifferent. If she had did what she did, you know, the situation probably wouldn't happen if she just obeyed authority. I think these kids nowadays, you can't tell me that you're not my mama, you're not my daddy, you know.
Yeah.
And some parents, you know, I'm going to say some, got their kids like that because with the kid come home, my teacher did this, she did what? Okay. You know, they need to jump on the child's side. Well, no, because my son, seven, he had come home. Well, my teacher, she thought I did this just because of this, and that. I'm not about to tell him or your teacher, you know, whether or not she mistaken him or not. If you were sitting down, minding your business, looking at nobody but the teacher and your work, she wouldn't mistake you for doing nothing. So, no, I'm not about to jump on your side telling you, oh, babe, maybe she was wrong for you being in trouble. No, you were wrong.
Yep.
Because you need to do everything you need to do to make sure you're good. And they got this... You know, can't anybody tell me nothing. You're not my mom, you're not my dad. They don't respect other people. And like you said, the village, take a village. We don't want the village. We don't touch my baby.
No. You bring up a very interesting paradigm switch. And it's funny because I never really thought about it or could articulate it until you said what you said. And that is this. There used to be a time, based on what you said and how you raised your child,
you always in that scenario, you said that basically you always give the parent, you give the other adult, the teacher in this case, the benefit of the doubt. You know, mm-hmm. because you wasn't there, you get one side of the story, and so you're going to give the teacher the benefit of the doubt. Because, like you said, if the kid wasn't in the wrong position, then they would not have been caught up, basically, right? Nowadays, to your point, we don't do that. We come and hear our kids, the same kids that don't clean their room, the same kid, we got to tell them to wash the dishes two or three times, the same kid, we got to tell them to change their clothes and pick up their socks, the same kid come home and tell us what the teacher them did, and we automatically give our child the benefit of the doubt as if that teacher did not go to school, did not get a degree, did not qualify to be in that classroom.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because it's sad. The adults yield to the kids now than to the other adults. And the kids know it.
Uh-huh.
The kids know it. My mama ain't gonna say nothing to me. I'm gonna have my mama go off on you. And here comes.
Yep.
I'm gonna use a name, but here comes mama.
It's us against the school, mommy.
Yeah.
It's us against them.
Yeah.
I'm taking. You know, I know you're gonna take my side. I know you're gonna hear my story. I know I can never do no wrong. You know, it's me. And I think it's one way, because it's like it's one thing if your child does come home and you got the most behaved child and you can't actually believe that they're doing this at school because at home they're so, you know, obedient, let's say, for example, and they just A1 at home. They ain't messing around. They do what you've been told. And then they go to school. And maybe this one incident, they, you know, I'm just saying, just speaking to the anomaly, this one incident, you know, something happened, and you know that's not their character, then, okay, but I'm still not, you know, I'm going to hear my child, okay, I hear you. What I'm going to do, I'm going to talk to the, you know, teacher to get an understanding, you know, but I'm still not about to bash the teacher, you know, cause to make you believe that even if you were right in this situation that, okay, now I can get away with it.
Yeah.
Because... You know, but at the same time, you do want to have your child's, like, you know your child's character, and, you know, just take the extra step to go talk to the teacher and try to get a better understanding instead of going
right.
back and forth over,
right.
you know, notes
right.
and stuff like that. And next time she do that, you tell her.
It's funny how y'all say that, right? Because I have a 7-year-old, okay? And my 7-year-old, the teacher done told me and last year's class and this year's class, that he's one of the smartest kids in the class. But the mm-hmm. problem is, he's so smart that he does his work, like, super fast. When he gets finished.
And talk so much.
That's when he gets in trouble. Like, she took pictures of him sitting up under the desk, doing something to the top of the desk, and I'm trying to figure out in the picture, like, what are you doing in here? Why are you doing this? He's like, I was finished with my work. And, you know, the mother was like, she should give him more work to do and taking his side. And I was like, no, he shouldn't have been on the floor in the first place up under the desk. But she was like, if she gave him more work, then he wouldn't have had time to be under the desk. And I'm like, but he shouldn't have been under the desk if she didn't give him no more work. He should have raised his hand or found something else to do. He's at school playing with his desk. And I'm like, no. For a parent, that's embarrassing. You see your child sitting up under a desk and the teacher's actually taking pictures of this. Like, who else are you showing these pictures to?
Right, she posts it on Facebook and Twitter. Making little memes. Sometimes,
yeah,
so they feel like this. He up under the desk. Yeah.
You know, me as a parent, I'm looking at the other end of it. I'm sitting there like, okay, I know my son. But I also know, you know, he know better. He know he ain't supposed to be sitting under no desk. He know he's not
mm-hmm.
supposed to be crawling on floors. You know, he's 7 years old. So when I talk to him, I get on about that. You know, he like, but my teacher said, I'm like, but you know also what I said before what your teacher said. I go to school and be good. I figure sitting under a desk to the point where the teacher's taking pictures of you, and you don't even see her taking the pictures of you. How do you figure that's good? You're not paying attention in class.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the mother,
yeah.
for my reason, that's so far over her head because she like, she should give him more work. I told her to give him more work, but you're not her boss. Right.
And there's a format that teachers have to follow. But there's no doubt, I think that's pride. And I think every parent has a point of pride where we found out our kid did something so bad, and we know for a fact it's a bad reflection on us. And so we don't want to take that reflection. So it's always going to be somebody else's fault. And I think our children learn that, because the kids today are not as wise as we were, but they're a lot more observant, you know, and they pick up on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so they've seen they can do some things wrong, and it makes us look bad. We don't want to look bad, so we're going to defend them. Because subconsciously, while we're defending them, subconsciously we defend ourselves. Go ahead.
I had that realization a little while ago, because me and my kids and mama, it would be different. You know, we have different parenting styles or different things. And so when I would see her do something that I wouldn't do, I would say something about it. But where I made my mistake is I would say something about it in front of my son.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he feels like, oh, mommy wrong, daddy right.
Yeah.
And so he kind of acted that out. And when I said that, I kind of start, you know, correcting it, because I can't, you know, nobody's going to disrespect my wife, you know.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's what it turned to, because he feel like, if daddy feel like that, he the strong one, you know. I'm a, you know, my mother's grown when she says stuff. So every time she tell him something, he looking at me. And it's making her mad. Why are you looking at him? I told you to do this. And I made that storm or whatever. And, another thing I'm going to say, what parents have to understand, too, is that kids are not the same kid. Your kid is not the same kid when he's around you than from when he was with other peers.
That's true.
There's some other stuff that kid going to do, pick up, because he around the kids, and he wants to, you know, it can be the smallest thing, but there's some things that your kid not going to do in front of you that he's doing with his, you know, him or her. With his friends, he different, and that goes to there's a lot of stuff, you know. If I talk to my cousin, we got one relationship. I talk to somebody else, we got our own different language, you know. It may not be wrong. They might not be doing nothing wrong, but they are different.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we hit the subject of kids, man, because it's like I got so many stories. I can just go in on, you know, kids. I had my son at school. I'm not going to say the name of the school, but he was at the school, and it seemed like the principals were picking on him because, you know, I know my child. My child is not a scrapper. He's not a fighter. He's a player. He thinks he's a Power Ranger, but he's not a fighter. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving all my son all these suspensions for fighting kids and saying he's starting fights at school. And I'm sitting in the other end like, I don't see him being an aggressor here. I mean, yeah, I know he played too much, but I don't see him as being the guy that's going to walk up to somebody and just start punching them for no reason. What did this child do to him to make him start doing this? And they come to find out, you know, the child was in the bathroom trying to pull out his pants or something, you know, and they came to find out this kid wasn't consequent for his actions, but every time my child got in trouble, he was being consequent. And it became to a point to where anything my son did, he was pretty much getting sent home for it. If he burped too loud in the lunch line, he getting sent home, you know? And I'm like, are y'all singling out my child, or is it something, you know, going on that I don't know about you just like us? What's the problem? Because every time I look around, I'm getting a phone call and my son's coming home, and I can't figure out why.
Yeah.
And it's like, every time we figured out, it was more so another kid involved that didn't get consequented. It was never another child being consequented while my child was being consequented. So when the mother went up to the school, of course, she noticed this. We had the little, you know, the meeting with the principal, the parent, and the student, the kid, your child. So my son is there looking, listening to his mother go to bat for him, but yet he don't see where he's wrong yet. Because we tell him, if somebody put their hands on you, you go tell. Well, he don't go tell. He call himself defending himself. So you're not listening to what we're saying, and then it's like your mama's not really, should I say, enforcing what we're saying either, because now she's jumping on the principal because you're not consequenting other kids. So my son looking at it like, well, yeah, they were wrong. So if they didn't do what they did, then I wouldn't have gotten.
Yeah.
You know, I feel that kid, because that was me. Maybe not through the whole 12 years of me going to school, not all 12 grades, but middle school, that was me, because it felt like no matter what I did, it was like a magnifying glass on me, and I felt like I was always getting in trouble. And there was one incident to where I was like in seventh grade, and there was some little girl, and you know, we're going from class to class to class, just wouldn't leave me alone. I'm writing on my paper. She turns around, writes the F on my paper. All right. She's just doing little stuff. She then, on the way, my dad told me, he always told me, and he wasn't applying it to females because, I was taught him not to touch no female. But he said if it was a bully, you tell the teacher, whatever you tell the teacher, teacher don't do nothing, you pick up a brick or something, knock him inside the head. But not the brick part, but the tell the teacher part, I did. Each class we was in, these three periods, I told the teacher. Long story short, last straw, she pushes. She got something on her hand, and she just launches and just pushed me. And I snapped. I blocked out, and I just grabbed her, and I just ran her to the window. But I didn't throw her out the window, nothing like that. I let her go. It was just, I didn't hit her or nothing like that, just grabbed her. And I really snapped. I blacked out, and I opened my eyes, and she was at the window. And so even the teachers, everybody saw that, and I told, we get in lunch line. All of a sudden, the counselor walked past. She starts crying. Now, this is an hour after the period already happened. She starts crying, and she told the counselor, I get suspended. Nothing happens to her. And so I was playing the story, to my dad, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, nothing happens to her? Did you hear everything that happened leading up to it? I get suspended, and she walks away free. Because she's a victim. I'm sorry. I just went back to my life for a minute.
No, it's cool. I mean, it's hard being a teacher. And, of course, as I talked about on the show before, my work in education is 15 years old now, but yeah, some kids will get consequented and some won't. And I had an incident that I had to deal with just recently where these two kids, one of the daughters and another kid at the school, were getting ready like they were going to fight. And so the vice principal comes up and he breaks them up. He says, go to class. He wasn't going to suspend anybody. He stopped it. He was satisfied with stopping it. Go to class. And so as the crowd began to disperse, the little girl began to go, but, of course, mine want to signify. She want to become openly defiant. There's that word again. And so she gets suspended. And I heard the same story with the other girl. It was both of us. No. You didn't get suspended for fighting or about to fight. That's not why you got suspended. You got suspended because you wouldn't shut your mouth. You got suspended because you wouldn't leave the area. And I had to try to explain that. Our kids nowadays, because it seems like the school system is becoming just like jail, our kids will get a record. And when you are not, I don't know if y'all remember this or not, Rick, I don't know if you remember this, but when I was in elementary school, they always would tell you, I'm going to put that on your record. I'm going to put that on your record. And you knew they said that there was something about that was just different than getting a markdown that day. For us, it was a blue sheet. Put that on your blue sheet. And come to find out that your blue sheet is what followed you all the years you were in that school. It was like your credit report when we were in elementary school. From kindergarten to fifth grade, this blue sheet followed you. And so every teacher you had got to know everything about you and everything you did. So they learn your pattern. They hear about you because teachers are talking in the lounge, whatever. They talk about Demetrius, what have you. And so, you know what? Some folks, you got teachers that get jealous of kids. You got teachers that see potential enough in a child that they figure that if I don't get this kid in order now, you know, we may lose this kid. And so it's not fair. But I'm not going to. Matter of fact, and this is just the way I was raised. Now, I ain't saying it's right. But I take my grandfather's approach. If a teacher called my house, you ain't got nothing to say. Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you talk. And what I'm looking for is some humbleness in you. I'm looking to hear something to say that you now understand what you did and the consequences it had. That's what I'm looking for. Because I'm going to bite that behind at the end of the conversation regardless, because the teacher called my house. You know, and that's how I roll. Because, and again, I ain't saying it's right. But as it was explained to me, look, and I say long years ago, if the teacher took the time out of their day, or their prep period, or they interrupted their teaching to call me, if they went home and took time away from their family or eating dinner to call me, that means that whatever you did was that important to that teacher. And so if it was that important for them to take time out of their day to call me, yes, I have to deal with him. I have to.
See, my oldest son, he got that humble thing. He think he did good with that because I know I was wrong. I shouldn't have did that. He tried to out-talk me. I'm telling him, you did this. Yeah, I know, and I did this, and I did that. I shouldn't have did that because that wouldn't have happened, right, Daddy? I'm glad you know that. Now we can just get straight to the whooping. That's about to save him, but it's not. It's not about to save you. And I feel sorry for some kids. Some kids just get in circumstances, they get in trouble. Like, I remember being in circumstances. I was in elementary school. And I walked into a bathroom. I didn't even use the bathroom. I just walked in there and washed my hands. And out of nowhere, it's spitballs all, you know, not spitball. You know how kids take paper towel, wet it, and sponge it up on the sill.
Towel against the wall.
Yeah. And so it's everywhere. This bathroom monitor guy pops up from underneath the bathroom stall and says, "Aha, you did it. I saw you do it." I said, "What?"
That's weird.
And so I found myself in the principal's office. I never forget this day. And I saw opportunity, so I took it. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. So the principal said, "Okay, you sit right there." He made a mistake by telling me, "Sit right there." He went in his office. I left out the main office and went home at the class. I don't want to get in trouble for something so ridiculous I didn't do. And I couldn't say he lying on me because he was so entrusted to be the bathroom monitor. I don't know if because I was a first grader, he's a fifth grader. I don't know what, but he probably did it.
Oh, he was a kid. I thought it was an adult.
Yeah. No, he was a kid. He jumped from under the bathroom stall and said, "Aha, you did it. I caught you." But
his name wasn't Ricky, was it?
Probably was. I'll go back. You ever went to Brewer?
Hey, Doc. Well, I'm in the fifth, right, Doc? Because you say if the teacher take time out of their day to call home, I'm looking at it not being in a man. Some of these teachers ain't got no lives when they get off work, man. They ain't got no families to go home to school. So them calling you gives them something. Some teachers
don't believe that.
I ain't feeling all
that. I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to hit you like this.
Well, I was a problem like child, Doc.
Okay.
I know the phone calls you get when they call at home about 8 o'clock at night. You're sitting there wondering if that's them on the phone because the call, you know, you ain't never seen that number on the call ID. At the end of the day, it ain't nothing you can say once they call because you know they're calling. You can try to be on the phone. You can unplug the phone. This is before cell phone. But once phone, it ain't nobody, no way to get in contact with you unless somebody stop by the house.
Yeah, that's true.
And still find my way of getting caught.
This was before cell phones?
This is before cell phones, you know.
Yeah, it's don't plug, don't fall on that rope. Don't do it. Don't fall
this,
that
this was when you had the long white cord.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, this is back when we used to use the yellow pages and the white pages. You know, now we just
look,
Google
look,
everything.
You're not helping. You're not helping.
Is this when you had to press 9 and then the thing roll all the way back, and you had to press 2, then it roll back, and then 7, and then the tick 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 tick. The rolling phones. Back with a payphone at every corner.
Rook just called up. He was setting you up for the old play dot.
Okay.
I thought it was hit you with that back when you had to climb the pole to use the phone. You know. Hello, Sarah. Give me the police. You know. You know. That's what he set you up for, man. That's what he set you up for. You know. Yeah, no, Doc, and I'll say to what you're saying, I know, you know, some people have less of a responsibility when they get off work, but when you go home, man, them teachers got to sit there and call parents for free. I can see if you call them on your prep period. You get an hour free a day to kind of do what you want to do. You're supposed to get your work together for the rest of your day. I can see if you call them for, again, at least you're still on the clock. But once you go home, Doc, you call them book as parents for free. And it ain't like it used to be. You call 5 people's parents back in the day. Hello? Oh, hi. What happened? Really? Oh, I'm going to deal with Demetrius right now. That's a good phone call. Nowadays, you call a parent is, come and call him my house, and you should have dealt with him earlier. I tried to send him to school for you to take care of him. No, ma'am, I'm supposed to teach him. You're supposed to teach him and raise him and babysit him, too, because that's why I said I ain't got time to be, you know, so for a parent, for a teacher, to decide I need to call a parent and potentially have to argue with this parent over their bad kid for free. That's a heck of an investment. That's all I'm saying. Especially when, and this is something that used to really bother me when I worked at the school. It used to kill me these parents to come up to the school when their kid got suspended, because I know I suspended a lot of them. And they want to be indignant. Oh, my kid got suspended. And you ain't been to land parent teacher conference. We ain't seen you since registration day. You know. You don't participate, you know, the parent that doesn't participate in the academic process of their child. They don't go up to the school. They don't have a relationship with the teacher. They don't even know the teacher's name. You know. But then the kid comes home and says, you know, whatever. And they just believe it. So that's my 30-second rant on that. I have a problem with that. I'm going to say to that doctor, it's going to take the Lord to change my mind. If a teacher called the house, man, that's it. They ain't nothing to talk about.
Well, you got to understand, Doc. If they call it nowadays, you might be right, Doc. You got to understand. I don't even think teachers call home nowadays. Well, they call me. I guess you're right.
Well,
they
do.
Call me. But they call me during school hours, too, though.
They do. They call. My phone, I think we just missed a call from Brother R. Trying to, hold on a second. Well, it's a 704 area code. Good morning, you're live on the air.
Going on, gentlemen, how y'all doing?
Brother R, back from vacation.
Oh, man, I'm back. So, you know, you have to say in this situation, man, it's just a different time, you know. Kind of like when I knew, when that phone called, I was kind of expecting that phone call. I was trying to do everything, my power for my mama not to be around or cut the ringer off, cut the ringer down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew it was going to lead to, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so,
sir.
And you know. Or if I get sent to the office and my mama get a phone call me and say, because the one thing my mama said, don't have me come up to that school, you know?
That's right.
And Yep. You know, if I was lucky to not get it right then, she would hit me with, I'm going to get you for the All In The News. Don't worry about it. No, I used to want mine right then. I ain't want later, you know.
Right,
later
right,
be
right,
anymore.
Right, right.
No, I don't want no build up. But now, since you have such a lot of these teenage moms that their child is number several years older than them, they don't have that same respect. They don't have that same fear of, you know. You know, at least that's in somebody's household. That don't apply in mine because my kids know what it is, you know. you know, then, like you say, then when you got teachers take their time, and they were older teachers, you know, teaching what they like, you know. So they didn't mind coming home, calling, doing paperwork at that night, da-da-da-da-da, but you were still on their mind. Now you may get a teacher that me email you, or sell for you, you know, some of these younger teachers, you know, straight out of college, you know what I'm saying? Straight out of college teachers don't necessarily get the same respect out of the old folks.
No,
you know?
Of course not.
You know, so,
you're right. You're right. You're a senior in high school, you're 18, and this new teacher is 23, you know, 24 years old. No, you know, so you're right. You're right. Young teachers definitely have a hard time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then it reflects back to what you're being taught at home. You know what I'm saying? Let's say, for instance, man, my daughter at her school, she's 7, you know, it's some clothes that one of her classmates wear for a young age. She's going to be wearing that. And she got the attitude to what she wearing, you know? So it can be inappropriate all the way around the board. You know what I'm saying? Why is your mom making you come to school looking like this? I understand if you can't, you don't have, but we talking about wearing with your stomach showing, you know, you got hoochie mama shorts on at an early age, you know? And, you know, that stuff like be acceptable. And then you got the sassiness in your voice. So when an adult is trying to talk to you, you're going to reply back to sass. I come from home, team. I don't have nothing to do with anything else, you know. So how you think you're going to get your work done if you're going to be fast? Respect line.
Mia, what was you saying?
No, I was saying, and then they wonder why when their daughter come home pregnant.
Yeah.
Skip first hour with the hoochie mama dress on and the stomach showing.
Yeah.
One of all the boys running past, smacking him on the butt.
You got the knucklehead.
Yeah.
So you advertising and saying it's here.
Yeah. So, you know, so, man, let me take a fine example. My son, you know, my daughter, right? My daughter, she's well-groomed. And, you know, we teach her right from everything. Obviously, you deal with today's society, social media, da 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 da, if they want to try to fit. One black girl who's kind of hooded, and which my daughter, I teach my daughter hood right. And I teach her how to be a proper young lady and, you know, et cetera. So she know what it is to be hood or ghetto if she wants to. But my daughter talks very proper English, you know? And, the girl said, "Oh, you're not black enough because you don't talk like we talk." So my daughter took that to offense and was like, "What do you mean by that? You know, just because you don't talk good, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
She came home and told me and my wife that. And I told my daughter, I said, you know, don't pay that no mind, you know, because at the end of the day, that may be a difference between you working in a corporate office or having something and then working at the grocery store or a gas station, you know? Mm-hmm. So you let her go ahead with her broken English, you know, and you keep on doing what it do to keep going first. That's why you are an AB honor roll student, sometimes A honor roll, you know? Stereotype, anything like that. But I think when she came out to handle like that, like you put us backwards, not forward. You know?
Now we do have a tendency to do that.
You know, don't try to fit in. You know? You do what's good, got you good this far.
Yeah.
So my daughter continues, you know, to do what she do. My daughter continues to pray some teachers. The teacher sent on a letter and like, listen, I moved your daughter because I didn't want her around them particular people that would drag her down. So she won't try to fit in. This is coming from a Caucasian teacher talking about some of the black students. And she showed my daughter didn't fit in with some of the knucklehead students, you know.
Yeah.
We were thankful for that. And we taught our, you know, teach our kids to not necessarily not got to be part of the crowd, be something else. I teach my son, although he's athletic, I teach him to be, you know, because some kids may think it's uncool to be smart, or geek, proper English. But I teach my kids, hey, it's sexy to be a geek, you know? So you go, you hit them books, and you worry about them later. They're going to be your friend regardless of whatever you is. So you got to hit them books. You know, that'd be the bottom line.
Well, you know, I wish we could have branded this show as when the fathers get together to talk about the state of kids. That'd been a good, something good to promote. Because, you know, I don't think our voices is heard nearly enough. You know, we normally when it comes to kids, especially when it comes to schools, normally the mamas that get all the play. And that's because I want to say it's been my experience that, you know, mostly the mothers are at the school, but taking the 7-year-old to elementary and then the other one to junior high, I see a lot of dads out there, and it's a blessing, you know, to see them involved in the school. And I know this. I learned this for a fact. I saw it. I witnessed it, and I experienced it as well. When a school knows that a child has a father or a male in their life, they do treat their kid differently. They treat them better. They really do. Sometimes the standard is a little higher. They don't play with them because I'm gonna call your father, you know. But they'll sometimes can be a little bit more understanding too. And so that goes what I'm saying, brothers. It is time. We're coming down to the end of the show. Thank you so much for being a part. Thank you those that are listening. Brother R, man, good to have you back. Doctor, go ahead with your final words and your Brother R moment before we go. Brother, are you still there? Maybe that was his final phone. Bill Smooth, man, you've been riding shotguns from the beginning, my friend. Thank you, as always. You know, I'm going to call you a caller. You're a part of the show. Final thoughts, plugs, is in your hands.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. D, for even having me on here. And I just want everybody to go out, and if you can, go support Bean. That's Bean Extraordinary at Music. You can support by going to GoFundMe.com/YouCanBean. So that's GoFundMe.com/YouCanBean. And if you got any, you know, any equipment or any help, or you know if anybody with any expertise, or if you got any information, or you want some information on how your child could be a part of learning the art of music and music production, you can email us at YouCanBean. That's YouCanBean. YouCanBean@gmail.com, or find me on Facebook on Brandon L. Hudson. Also, like our page on Facebook, What's Up Christian?
Boom. Okay. Well, like our page, Live with Dr. D, that's our page, but like your page, What's Up Christian? On Facebook. On Facebook. All right. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. I had my face all crinkled up with a smile, and they were like, oh. So, all right. Thank you, my brother. Rook City, my friend, it's that time, sir. Do what you do.
Well, fellas, I enjoyed the talk today, man. Hey, both of y'all, y'all be blessed. All you be blessed. Everybody, y'all just be blessed. Y'all have a great weekend. And don't let Sunday pass without y'all stopping by the Lord's house to hear what he got to say for you through the week. Until then, y'all, I'm out to Monday. Catch me and Dr. D live with Dr. D Monday morning, 10 o'clock.
Bada boom, bada bing. Have a wonderful weekend. Call on the name Jesus. It opened doors for you. Close the windows if necessary. And know who you are in that regard. And as always, until Monday is our prayer.